Hey, welcome back, everybody, to School Spirit here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. This is Tom McNew, and Robin Spencer is back with me again.
Good to be back with you, Tom.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We're going to do a little bit of a follow-up today to our show that we had back in April. If you'll remember, we had State Representative Brad Buckley, who represents District 54, and we talked a lot about the Educational Savings Account, the bill, now law, that Chairman Buckley was working on. So if you missed that show or you really just want to kind of hear from his thoughts and the development of the bill, you can go to our website, armorofgodradio.com, and under the schedule tab, you'll find all the podcasts that and the recordings that we've done up to this point for all of our programs, not just School Spirit. But joining us again is Ms. Misty Poe and Ms. Kelly Laster from the superintendent's office here in the Diocese of Austin. Thank you both, ladies, for joining us.
Hello, our pleasure.
Thank you for inviting us. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk a little bit today about some initial impacts. And as we talked about earlier, this is probably one of a multi-part conversation that we're going to have. We know a little bit now about what these ESAs are going to do and how they're going to impact our schools and our parents and grandparents. And you know what? Misty, why don't you just explain it? You're the expert. I'm not.
What do we know now?
I can't say I'm the expert now, but first of all, we're very excited that Texas now has school choice.
Yeah.
So this is a great opportunity for our parents. It is really empowering them to take charge of their child's education and ensuring that their child's needs are being met. Whether it's in a private school or a Catholic school, at this point, we're just grateful for the gift to our families. Amen. So we're very excited.
Amen.
So we know some of the basic facts. Right now, based on the timeline, ESAs, the state comptroller's office is working out all the details, the rules, the regulations, and we won't know that till about September. When that comes out, then we'll be able to hopefully host another cast then and share the details of that for families. Applications are supposed to open in January. Families will apply. They should be notified in early spring. And then that ESA will go into effect for the 26-27 school year for those children.
Okay.
So timeline-wise, the state and everyone else has a year to get ready. At our level, at the diocesan level, we are working to make sure that our families are educated and aware of this opportunity. Mm-hmm. So we'll be working with our parishes, our schools, the Catholic community at whole, so those parents understand that this does apply to them as an individual, and this is a resource that they have to better provide for their children.
Yeah.
So we're really excited about that. So we are working on that process, and we'll be working with the parishes and pushing out those additional tools and communication aspects for them.
Right, right. I think that's it's a great opportunity to spend some time this summer. I know it's another rock in your rucksack, but to spend some time this summer to have that little road show, have those little educational opportunities with our parents and our schools and what they really mean, what all this means. Because there is a ton, as we talked about earlier, about misinformation and disinformation about what this law is actually going to do.
So speaking of the law, so some basic things.
Yeah.
There's $1 billion that's been allocated. They're estimating about 90,000 students will benefit from this.
90,000.
90,000. And so, there's about 5.5 million students being educated in Texas.
Okay.
So very small percentage, but we got to start somewhere.
Right.
Although I do have to chuckle for Texas being $1 billion school choice bill. It's the largest bill that's ever been passed in any state, but in Texas, you go big or go home. So leave it to Texas to go big, which is great. And then the allocations. So are you ready to get into some of the details?
Yes, yes.
Turn your volume up here.
Peel this
The allocations based on families that apply, it's about $10,000 is what we're estimating right now. Mm-hmm. If you want to get into the details, the calculation's actually going to be 85% of the average state funding per student. And because of the recent House bill to that pass, that may fluctuate a little bit. Mm-hmm. But they're estimating about $10,000 a student. Private schools that are participating in it.
May I ask, is that $10,000 per year?
Per student.
Per student.
Until
per
they
year,
graduate.
Per student. Per until student they graduate. Year. So once you apply, that goes with you. You don't have to reapply the next school year.
Correct.
Thank you.
And the other benefit they have, again, we're so grateful for the Senate and the House and thinking about families, is that if a family applies and they have four children and one child is chosen, all the other siblings also are chosen.
Mm. Wonderful.
So this doesn't put a family in a predicament of like, I have provide I for have one choose. Child, but I can't do the other three, and who do I choose?
Got it.
So they really did a great job of thinking of families and really making this a parental choice.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
And then schools that are participating have to be accredited, and they had to have been accredited for at least 2 years.
And I think that's a key point. And in fact, as I was, you know, prepping for this, there was, the misinformation and disinformation was that it's going to, all the rich public schools or all the rich private schools, you know, in the metro areas are the only ones that are going to benefit from this. And that really couldn't be any further from the truth. The accreditation piece, I think, is key. It's not just every school.
It is not every school. They do have to be accredited. Now, they can be accredited by different organizations, but they will need to follow the accreditation. But to your comment, what people think it's just the rich schools, there's priorities that are given for the funds to be outlaid. Yeah. And so when we go over those, you'll see that, when the legislation focused on this, it was about families and then families that are under the, you know, that aren't financially stable and they can't provide the additional resources.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was intentional focus on that. Yeah, so that's really good.
I want to spend some time on the priorities, but go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
We can dive into those priorities right now.
Okay.
That first one is students with disability. The legislation, when they were talking about this, they noticed there's been some disparity among those students with disabilities and being served statewide.
Mm-hmm.
So if they have a student that qualifies for disability, and their family income is under $500,000 of the federal poverty guideline, they are in priority one. So an example of that 500%, if you have a family of four and you make less than $160,000 and you have a child that has a disability, you qualify for the first priority.
A family of four who makes less than $160,000, that covers a good portion of most of us.
It does. It does. And I'll have Kelly, because we get a lot of questions about, well, what does a disability mean?
Yeah, that was my next question.
Kelly, can you share a little bit about those classifications?
Yeah. So, sure. There's about 13 classifications for learning disabilities, and those are based on the Texas Education Code.
Mm-hmm.
And so the categories that are most common that Catholic schools serve are children with speech impairments, children with dyslexia, children. We do have children. We serve children that are autistic on the autism spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And then other health impairment is a very common one, which is not very well understood. But other health impairment usually are children that have been diagnosed with attention deficit. So ADHD students. And we serve quite a few of those students. And so if those children would qualify for special ed in the public schools in those categories, then they would qualify for this first priority.
What about if they qualify medically but not public school-wise?
So that's a great question. That is one of the pieces that the comptroller's office is sifting through right now because there have been some questions about that.
Thank you.
And we're hoping, though, an area of growth in our Catholic schools is serving students with special needs. Just within our office, parental choice aside or not, is the focus that we have in working with our schools to increase that service. So we're in year two of supporting our schools in that. We have a couple of schools that have accepted children with intellectual disabilities with Down syndrome and have been successful in serving them. So we're looking to expand that. And this ESA may just be an opportunity to help us with our original plan in growing those services.
Wonderful. Something we need to talk about more in the future, I guess.
Yes. And so if there's funds left over after individuals who qualify for that level, then the second level is families whose income is 200% or less of the federal guidelines. And so that is an example of a family of four would be making less than $64,000.
Mm.
So if we have a family of four making less than $64,000, they would qualify for the second category.
Priority two.
So it's 200% less than the federal poverty guideline. So that is another large percentage of our current families.
Mm-hmm.
A great service. I mean, those are the families who really need the assistance.
Yeah. Yes.
Who really do.
So that really, I mean, just those two priorities alone just flies right directly in the face of 95% of the criticism that is being leveled on this law, even over the last we've been working on this, what, 5-6 years now, I guess, maybe
many
longer.
More.
but I know it's been a hot topic the last two legislative sessions for sure. But the vast majority of the criticism is like, oh, we're leaving the poor people behind and we're leaving the students with disabilities behind. And this absolutely 100% refutes any and all of that sort of criticism.
Correct. They are our priorities in this program.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
There is a lot of commendations that should go to TCCB, especially Jennifer Allman, because mm-hmm. she has really spent a lot of time advocating for these particular categories. Yeah. In this bill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not all of our heroes wear capes.
No, they do not. So true.
Continue with the priorities then, please.
Yeah, so then the third priority is families that are between that 200% of the federal poverty line and the 500%. So a family of four between $64,000 and less than $160,000. That's our third priority. So kind of that middle class.
Okay.
Which is a great need too, because even to be middle class now with the cost of everything, it's a challenge.
Yeah.
And that is an area of families that seem to be struggling more than they have in the past.
Mm-hmm. Food prices
exactly.
low just to feed your
yes.
family.
Well, and you know, our Catholic families, so many of them have 3, 4, 5, 6 children.
That's true.
And
right.
they want them all to have Catholic education. Mm-hmm. And so it's difficult if you're living on a middle class income.
Yes. Right. So some of our amazing families out there that I know you are there, 7 children, if you make between $97,000 and less than $243,000, this is priority 3.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just another example. And then the last category is kind of what everyone's saying is everybody else. So if you make more than that 500% of the federal poverty guideline, then you would qualify. That is the only category that is giving prioritization to public school kids first, though. So private school kids are eligible for all of the categories, but on level 4, when it's open up to the higher income, if you're coming from a public school, you will be chosen over someone already existing in a private school.
Mm. So that's provided you're not in one of the other priority categories
correct.
First. Okay.
Right. Correct.
Okay. Okay.
Correct.
So Tom McNew, whose parents are both, you know, doctors at Anderson and Houston, and that we're making $2.4 million a year, and I just decide next year that I don't want to go to Houston Public High School, that I want to just go to – I want to pick a school. I'm going to really be – or my parents in this scenario are really at the mercy of – everybody else who's in line ahead of me, and some 90,000 people, plus or minus, the 90,000 students that are going to be in line ahead of me, chances are there's not going to be money left in that $1 billion pot. As big a money as that is, a big a pot as that is, there's not going to be an opportunity for...
I think it's going to be slim. I think the need is so great in Priority 1 and 2 statewide. You know, the big question we keep getting asked is, How many school students should we expect in the schools?
Sure.
Or are we going to get all the levels covered?
Mm-hmm.
It is so hard to say. We have no idea. As Kelly and I are having to guess and analyze, we're thinking priority 1 and 2, but the many may be gone by then.
Mm. Right, right.
And so it doesn't even get to priority 3.
Yeah.
But those are the families who need it the most. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Really serving those in need.
So as someone who's... Well, let me back up a little bit. What do we know, the answer may be nothing right now, but what do we know about the logistics of the accounts themselves right now? I mean, we know that they're going to be controlled by the state and the comptroller's office, but do we know any of the kind of the ins and outs of how it's going to be set up?
We don't really know the ins and outs.
Okay.
What we do know is that they are, they will be hiring someone that manages the ESA. So what I've been using example is if you have an HSA health card or an FSA health card, it's kind of like that.
Mm. Okay.
Money's placed on this card. There are certain allocations that it can only be spent on. And then you, as a parent, they would say, you know, I'm going to allocate this money if it's for tuition, if it's for uniforms, textbooks, tutoring, academic language therapist. Mm-hmm. So they use it in that case. They're not actually getting the cash in their account. So it's kind of...
So it's similar. I'm gonna expose how little I know about financial aspects here. Is it similar to what a 529 account would be? Or do we not know yet enough of the details?
You know, it's really more like a health savings account.
Okay.
So it's almost like you get a credit card. So there's going to be a third-party vendor where that money actually goes in. Okay. And they create accounts for each of the families that become
that sign up.
That are chosen. So that's the other piece is depending on how many children are apply, it's possible that there are so many that apply that at each category there may be a lottery system. So let's say that we have 100,000 students that apply, and we're thinking only about 90,000 students could be funded, then there'll need to be a lottery system. Mm. So the third-party vendor will manage that piece of it. So let's say that your family qualified under whatever priority they had. They were selected. They get this card. And so when they go to sign up for tuition, you know, they use this card.
I see.
So the money never actually goes into a personal savings account. Mm. So with a 529, you know, you can take that money and you put it into your college student's checking account, and then they can use it for books. And this is a little bit different because this card will, that money will stay in one account. It won't be transferred to a personal account.
And we keep saying card, but it may not physically be a card. There's an account that the money's in there. And so the beauty of it, too, is that the parents can allocate it for the allocated funds. And then if there's funds left over, at this point, they can roll it over to the next year.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So this way, if they're in middle school and they're going to go to high school, those additional funds may cover, help out with high school expenses because high school's a little more expensive.
Mm-hmm. So,
or the needs become greater for the child who has a disability and needs additional services. They'll have that.
And there is one piece to this that I think is just brilliant, and that is there are a wide range of services that these families can use these funds for. So it's not just for tuition.
What do you mean, wide range of services?
Well, let me ask a specific in that regard. So I'm just thinking, say a student is in need of speech therapy, occupational therapy, and will this pay for a private company to take care of that for them?
It can.
Okay. Mm.
Sure. That's a qualified expense.
So if the insurance wouldn't cover it or they don't qualify based on insurance, this could perhaps, and they could apply based on something like that.
Absolutely.
Say we need our child to have occupational therapy. They don't qualify in the public schools, but they qualify medically, which is kind of where that was going. Could we use this to pay for their treatment in regards to that? Okay, perhaps.
Our understanding is that. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, another in a long list of details that, and you mentioned, Kelly, you mentioned the application process. What do we know about it right now?
Not very much.
Not very much.
It's going to open in January.
Folks, I'm just going to tell you right now, we're going to come back and revisit this later in the fall and probably get in the spring and probably next summer. We'll probably have to keep hitting this again as we get.
The comptroller's office, their whole job this summer really is to line out this process. Mm. What is this application going to look like? How are people going to log in and apply? Mm-hmm. I mean, all those details, that's their work this summer. Yeah. So hopefully we'll have that by September. That's the goal.
Yeah. So Chairman Buckley and his gang worked about 2 months to put this together for the comptroller office to spend the next 6 months.
I would say Buckley, his team's probably been working for years.
I was being sarcastic,
But yes. So the comptroller office has a large task ahead of them. But from my understanding in their meetings, it's been really great. And they are working with all entities within the state to make this as user-friendly as possible with the families.
So that was actually my next question then is, so how much are they reaching out to the individual school systems in your office and others for input as they develop some of these models and logistics?
They're not really at the schools, but the higher level. So the Texas Catholic Conference of Bishops has been involved in those meetings. Mm. And some other supporters that were pushing the school choice moving forward at the higher level, being able to help provide additional support and answer questions they may have, as making things are viable as they're moving forward with the timeline and the process.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's go back to a little bit about what's in Senate Bill 2 for those that, you know, helps to bring those bullet points out, right, to bring it forward. Right. Because anybody that looks at a bill, it's very overwhelming. So
yeah. First and foremost, it, you know, pretty much, well, within these requirements, everyone can qualify or apply for this.
Sure.
And then a part of the bill, aside from the $10,000 per the student,
And accreditation, which we
the
spoke
accreditation
of.
That we have, it does apply for currently privately enrolled students. That's been questioned a lot, but currently enrolled students in private schools are qualified.
Okay.
One thing that was added towards the latter part.
Excuse me, real quick. Yeah. They're automatically qualified, or are they just qualified to receive? They can get an application.
They can get an application to apply.
Got it.
So previous bills in previous years,
yes.
private schools that were already enrolled, students
yes.
were not eligible.
Mm. That's
so
a good
they're eligible
to
apply.
Thank you.
And then the students that apply do need to be a U.S. citizen or have been lawfully admitted to the U.S.
Okay.
And then, as I stated earlier, if a student... if a family applies and they have five kids and one of them is in the lottery, the other are not chosen, then according to the what we're seeing now, all the other students, the siblings would be able to join.
Wonderful.
So long they have an application in to the system.
And you did mention that unused funds can roll
over.
I think that's a very, well, all of these are key provisions, but that's a one that you mentioned how well, and it highlights, I think, how well Chairman Buckley and everybody who was working on this TCCB at all we're really focused on the families and it isn't kind of a you either you use it or you lose it kind of thing that as you said as needs and requirements go up high school is way more expensive than first grade you know so giving the parents the opportunity to go okay next year I'm going to need $12,000, not $10,000, or whatever the case may be. I think that's a key provision.
And there's families thinking now, like, okay, if we want to do this, do I need to apply now to the school? Like, how is this going to work?
Sure.
And so if the applications do indeed open up in January, they can apply to that and then apply to the school that they're wanting to attend.
For the following year.
So applications normally open up end of January, early February, at least in our elementary and high school Catholic schools. And then there'll be... time frame was still waiting from the comptroller, but they'll be informed they get it, so then they can confirm their enrollment.
And this will help the schools to have a projection for an increase in their staff requirements and things.
Mm-hmm.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
One piece that was kind of left out that I wanted to make sure we went back to was the strong religious liberty component of this bill. So allowing the schools the autonomy protections was important. To TCCB. And so what that allows us to do is continue to keep our Catholic schools Catholic. So the mission and identity of our Catholic faith stays intact.
Nice. Okay.
So basically what that means is that our schools aren't directly receiving these funds. They go to the families.
Family.
The families decide how to use those funds. So that means that we are not obligated to follow any state laws that might be
restrictive or hurt
or contradictory to our Catholic mission.
Great.
And as a follow-up that with those families, this bill also supports homeschool families. So they can get up to $2,000
to That's
support
good to
their
know.
Mission as a family and how they want to educate their child. So again, this is all about parental choice and what they feel is best for their child.
Again, focusing on the families.
So that would be... meted out in the application process. This
Correct.
Is where I would like to. Okay.
Hmm. Correct.
So can they require, or maybe you don't know that, can they request a certain amount of money versus like, I just need this much for therapy or I just need this much to homeschool? Or is there a set amount that will just be applied and it would roll over, like you were saying?
My understanding is it's a set amount because for homeschool families, it's $2,000.
Okay. So they it's delineated based on what you're applying for.
Right.
I'm applying for a homeschool.
Again, I guess the comptroller's office will help with these details. But
sure.
I would assume that if a homeschool family would like the $2,000 to help, then they would need to fall in these categories.
I see.
So yeah. a family that's homeschooling a child with
an income
disability
or
under the 500% federal rate in that first priority would be eligible for those $2,000. That's my understanding. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thanks for being specific.
We'll have clarity after September.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, there you go.
Well, we've got just a few minutes left here in the program, and so one of the things I saw on the TCCB's website, and I thought this was interesting, was one of their little FAQs said, you know, what should I be doing now? What should mom and dad be doing now? And one of the things that TCCB's office recommends is start figuring out how much you're actually spending on your school system, on the process of educating your child, regardless of the situation there, whether homeschool, public school, private school, but start saving the receipts and start figuring out exactly where it is, so that, like, kind of like what you were mentioning earlier, Kelly, about, or maybe it was Robin said something about, I need to take this advantage of this opportunity so that my child can go speech therapy. I can afford the tuition myself. I'm going to have to make some sacrifice. I'm going to cut some corners, but that's okay. But using this, allocating this money towards the speech therapy, I think is, and figuring out where that money needs to go to help the family, I think is, I think, a brilliant piece of advice from the TCCB.
I think so too. And I think a follow-up, especially for families who are not quite clear of what are my options, is if they're in an environment, and this is what we hear a lot from our priest, is families who are in an environment that is not safe for the child or not healthy for the child. Or, you know, I mean, I have some that are saying the children are having to pick gang colors by third grade or fourth grade, you know, and so they want a better environment.
Yeah.
So those families need to start either reaching out to their local pastor or to our office to say, what are options in the area?
Wonderful.
And visit those schools and see what's doable, you know, because we have to account for transportation, which this ESA can also contribute to. So it can help the transportation to get the child to the school they need to go to. So
Wonderful.
A lot of resources to enable those families and empower those families to make this transition happen for the betterment of their child.
And if people need to see this versus just hear it, but need to see it in writing, this flyer with a lot of the information and more that what we've gone over today is available at their parish level currently. Is that right? It's been sent out at the parish level?
It has not sent out yet.
Okay,
thank you. We just met with the pastors last week as we're rolling this out. So it is available on the Catholic Schools website, though.
Thank you.
Okay. So csdatx.org. csdatx.org.
There you go. Wonderful. Well, we'll make sure and we'll add it to our show notes here on our website. And when that goes out, let us know. We'll make sure that we can be part of the distribution process of that.
Great. That'd be great.
And we certainly will come back here in a couple weeks, couple months, as we get more clarity, maybe in the September timeframe, as we get a little more understanding of the implementation of how this is all going to go down. But I want to thank both of you for taking some time out of your busy calendars. Is reading this bill alone is, you know, sometimes it's like stereo instructions.
A little
daunting. Very, very difficult to read. You almost have a law background to really understand
it. Yeah.
So breaking it down, this is a great little document, and breaking this down in plain, simple English, I think, is so very important for all of our families. And I thank you very much for your time. And a shout out to Jennifer Allman and everybody at the TCCB for their effort, because I know that they were driving the horses through this whole process. So
indeed, they were. Well, we appreciate you sharing the word about this. And we really want to make sure the parents know this is an opportunity for them.
Amen. Amen.
So. All right.
Folks, we will rebroadcast this on Sunday afternoon. And again, it'll be available on our website. Thank you very much for tuning in. And we look forward to seeing you next week right here on Armor of God Catholic Radio.